Just going to say, it did my Southern heart good to explain what yonder meant to these children in the last few weeks. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, and you can follow along on page 35 of the New Testament of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to the Word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please join your hearts with mine in a moment of prayer. God, your word is a gift sacred and true, and so in the preaching and proclaiming of your word, may your will be done. You are our rock and our salvation, our refuge. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I do not know what crisis gave cause for the psalmist to write the words that Olivia read from us from Psalm 62. I do not know what in his or her life was falling apart. I do not know what foundations had been shaken. I cannot imagine the face of his or her enemies, let alone their hostile actions. I do not know any detail about the author's journey from despair to hope, from loneliness to God's tight hold, from danger to refuge. But I do know the crises of my own life. I know the moments when everything fell apart. I can name the times in my life when I spun around looking for anything to hold on to, as everything that once seemed firm crumbled. I have sat there, turned in on my own life, and wondered if it was possible to hope again. I know what it is to pour out my heart to God, to lay it all before the Lord, and to be met by the grace of God with the reminder of God's steadfast love. That's the journey this psalm is born from. The writer has come from a place of danger and anguish and captivity and hatred and selfishness and hopelessness and anger and despair. Does any of it sound familiar? The writer has come from that place to a place of refuge, of safety and hope and joy and freedom. They have come finally to a place of rest. And the one thing that got him or her from one place to the other, it is the one and only thing. That is God. God alone delivered him. God, the source of steadfast love. The writer of the psalm, reflecting on his journey, does what we will soon sing. He takes it to the Lord in prayer. And so let us listen with open minds and hearts to the psalmist's prayer reinterpreted for our own time. There is God alone. When no one can give me answers I so desperately want to cling to, there is God alone. When the spinning of my mind gives way to a distant numbness, there is God alone. When the foundations crumble, there is God alone. When the heartbreaking reality sinks in, there is God alone. When I remember to breathe and let the chatter fade away, there is God alone. And in that silent place where I sit, in the aftermath of my vain attempts for happy endings, there my soul waits for God alone. And in that silent place where I sit, still shaking from the words and the rage that I worked so hard to dodge, there my soul waits for God alone. And in that silent place where I sit, all too aware of my own sinfulness, of the ways I have failed to love my God and my neighbor, there my soul waits for God alone. And in that silent place where I sit, barely awake, but fully aware of the day ahead, scared to move, scared to leave the safety of bed, home, dog, and spouse, there my soul waits for God alone. For out of such crisis, I know one thing. My hope is from God alone. Only God. Only God secures. Only God saves. Only God provides. On the foundation of only God, on the foundation of God's steadfast love, I shall not be shaken. If I cling to answers, to lists, to comforts, I will surely fall. If I cling to anger and judgment and blame, I will surely fall. Even if I cling to people and relationships and stories, even there, I will end up falling. But if I cling to God, I will find something steady in every storm. I will find the strength to stand in the one who is greater than me, whose love is wilder than my wildest imaginations. Yes, on God alone rests my integrity, my good name. In God alone, my story will find its ending, one of deliverance, freedom, release, and life. My safe place, my sanctuary, my protection, my refuge is in God. And yours too. Children of God, trust in God. In times of crisis, when you are uncertain, when you are hopeless, when you are hurting, when you fall, trust in God. And in times of joy, when you are certain and when you are full of hope, when you dance with joy and stand tall facing the future, trust in God. At all times, brothers and sisters, trust in God. Beloved people of God, pour out your heart to God. Tell God your secrets. Give God words for the hopes and the fears and the yet to be named places. When your heart sings, sing to God. When your heart weeps, weep to God. When your heart leaps, leap to God. When your heart longs, long for God. When your heart wonders, wonder to God. And when your heart wanders, wander to God. When your heart protests, protest to God. And when your heart aches, ache to God. Whatever it is that stirs within your heart, give it to the Lord. Don't moderate your heartfelt prayers to God. Unload fully and be fully known by your Creator. For in the pouring out, God will transform you. God will hear you, and God will turn you. God will give you calm and grant you that peace that surpasses all understanding. God is there for us in our very breath. God is there for us, eager to listen to our inner thoughts. God is there for us, ready to be in conversation with us. And God is there for us, revealing love and light in the faces of friends and strangers. Yes, friends, in all of these things and more, God offers us sanctuary. For God is our safe place and our protection, not just on Sunday when we get a moment's rest from the busyness of the world, but a refuge available to us at all times and in all places. And if God is a refuge for us, then surely we are called to offer refuge to others. As we pour out our hearts to God, may we be transformed into people who offer safety and home and sanctuary to all. May we share the protection and promise of God with all who need it. Because the truth is, we live in a world that offers so many other appealing options for refuge. The world tells us, take refuge in your title. Its honor is your honor. Take refuge in your skills. Therein lies your worth. Take refuge in your social media. Its likes are your likes. Its presentation is your truth. Take refuge in your body. Its beauty is your beauty. Take refuge in your bank account. Its growth is your growth. Its security is your security. Take refuge in your country. Its greatness is your greatness. Its safety, your safety. Take refuge in your family, for its well-being is your well-being. I tell you the truth that the psalmist declares, this is delusional. To set our hearts on such wealth and status, it is false. For they are lighter than breath, they are fleeting. They fail to reflect the whole truth of your creation. None of these things are, of course, in and of themselves bad. None of them. But when they are the source of our strength, when they are the thing in which we place our trust, the place to which we run in times of trouble, when they are the thing we look to for refuge rather than God, the one who gave us our lives, the source of our breath, the restorer of justice, the creator of our beginnings, and the holder of our whole lives, when we turn to those other things instead, we will surely be disappointed. Not only will those things ultimately fail us, fail to protect us and keep us safe, fail to give us hope, they will also fail to make any better of us. When we look to those things alone, we're enticed to so quickly turn in on ourselves. If our refuge is our title, our skills, our bodies, our social media, our bank accounts, our country, or even our family, then our responsibility to the other, who doesn't fit in those categories, it will quickly fade away. But when we turn to God, when God is our refuge, when God, the one who created us all in steadfast love, the one who calls us to share in such love, when we turn to God, that God, then we will also be turned toward the other, to their needs, to their well-being, to their safekeeping. We find our refuge in God because in God alone lies the refuge of all. As the psalmist concludes his prayer, God, our Creator, you have spoken, and your word is that of steadfast love. Your steadfast love is your power. Your steadfast love is our salvation, foundation. You are our rock, our salvation, our refuge, because you are steadfast love. You claim us as your own, because you are steadfast love. You shake us from the delusions of our lives, God, because you are steadfast love. You call us to follow you, God, just as you called James and John, Simon and Peter on the lakeshore. You call us, God, because you are steadfast love. And in your steadfast love, we find our confidence and rest. God, may your work be our work, steadfast love. God, may your word be our word, steadfast love. In your name alone, God of steadfast love, we take our prayer. Amen.